Go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to take a deeper look, just another look at the Word of God. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. And we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and we see, God spoke. There's the Word. And I am seeing more and more clearly how that we as Christians, we simply don't value the Word the way we should. Well, the Word, that's the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Well, it is. Praise God. However, there's a lot more about it than maybe what we have recognized in the past. And this is something that's very, very critical for us. In fact, here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, we've read this before, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, Jesus in another place, back over in the Gospels, he was talking about, the sower soweth the word. And he shared that the word was kind of like seed, get sown. Well, here we see that we're not born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Well, what we are seeing here is that when we're born again by the Word of God. Now, what that establishes is a compatibility between our born-again spirit and the Word of God. Let me kind of put it like this. I don't understand how it is, but there are some bugs, like cockroaches, they can eat paper, cardboard, and they seem to survive. I don't know how. There is no nutritional value to cardboard. But cockroaches can eat cardboard and live. Well, for us, our bodies, we can eat cardboard, but there's no, all it does is fill you up. There's no nutritional value to cardboard. Our bodies are not compatible with whatever it is that makes up cardboard. Cockroaches, apparently so. But humans, no. We need something that is compatible with our bodies relative to nutrition and so forth so that we stay healthy. Our spirits are compatible with the Word of God. That is the only thing our spirits are compatible with, is the Word of God. The Word of God is food for our spirit. We are born again of the incorruptible Word of God. It lives and abides forever. My spirit is compatible with the Word of God when it comes to my growth and my development. Spiritually speaking, obviously. Okay, now, that being true, I need the Word. Using human terms, without the Word, I will become spiritually malnourished. Look over again at another place. Everybody has it memorized. Matthew chapter 4. But we're going to actually look at it again. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, in speaking with the devil says, turn the stones to bread. And in verse 4 of Matthew 4, Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So here I am, this born-again person, I am supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, let's simplify it for the moment. I'm supposed to live by what is recorded in Scripture. Now, as a child, when I was growing up, I did not like certain foods. Certain vegetables or whatever. And, some kids, they seem to like all vegetables. When I was young, I would have thought that was really weird. But I liked other things, but I didn't like everything. And you know, sometimes mom would fix things that I didn't like, and, you know, you have to eat that. You know, I don't like it. Why do I? Well, it's good for you. You know, I don't like it. One time that I remember as a child growing up, one time, she fixed liver. That was one of the worst meals I've ever had in my life. And it must, I mean, I don't, if I remember this correctly, my sister didn't like it. She's younger. My sister didn't like it. And I don't think my dad liked it either. And the reason I say that is because we never had it again. So I'm guessing dad must have said, don't ever do that again. Because we never had liver again. And, you know, praise God for it, because I still don't like liver. But mom made us eat it. And I remember eating it and holding my breath while I ate it. And, you know, getting, you know, something to chug it down with or something. You know, it was horrible. Some people like liver. I don't understand it. I think it's gross. I mean, liver, do you know what that is? It is an organ inside the body that processes stuff. Why not eat kidneys? Why not eat gallbladders? You know, come on, just cut them open and dig everything out and have at it. Well, that's just gross. That's what I think about liver. Your opinion may be totally different, but I'm right. Praise God. It's weird. What I'm getting at is there are some foods that liver. Now, I do agree. Liver's good for you. Iron or whatever. I mean, you know, liver's good for you. It has components that are good for the human body. My tongue doesn't like it, but my body would appreciate it. Well, now, see, that's not too dissimilar from how we look at Scripture. Now, let me explain. You know, you read the Bible, and you get to that point where it starts talking about, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so, and you read that, and it's like, seriously? I mean, why in the world is this in here? In fact, other than the people who begat somebody, who even cares why all of this is in here? However, it is Scripture. And because it's in the Word of God, to me, it might seem like liver. You understand what I'm getting at? I'll just skip by that stuff. Well, I can, but it's not helping me. I need what it has. Over in other places, you know, you read about, like in the Old Testament, where it talks about all of the different things that God told Moses to use, building the temple and, you know, this color and that color and these cubits and those cubits and all. It's like, okay, you built a tabernacle. Praise God, that's wonderful. But why do I need all this detail? Well, here's why. Everything that is in the Word of God, from Genesis all the way to through to Revelation, everything that's in there, for whatever reason, God knew we needed it. Now, I don't understand the fullness of everything in Scripture and why it's all in there, but it's in there, and God does not do things flippantly. So therefore, what I see in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it is in there for a reason, and it does me benefit. I am born again. I am spiritually compatible with the Word of God. That means my spirit benefits from me reading those passages that I really don't think have a whole lot of value, but they all have value. I live by this. I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. The Bible is a source of nutrition for me, spiritual nutrition. If I do not eat the Word of God, I do not get the nutrition. Now, this means, you know, eating it as in opening and reading, or listening to it as it's being read, either way. And both have benefits of their own. But if I don't take it in, I don't get the benefit. I do not get fed. Now, what we have in the body of Christ is a general state of malnutrition. Have you seen those commercials on TV where they show you all the children, you know, the hungry children, skin and bones and so forth and all that, and they want you to send money to help, you know, feed the children and all. And you know, I admit it's, in a way it's like manipulation, but at the same time it brings home the reality of these situations. And I understand that. Well, you know what? A commercial could be run showing the spiritual condition of God's children all over the world. And what you'd see, in really, in most cases, would be Christians who are, quote, skeletons wrapped with skin. You understand what I'm saying there? Because of the malnutrition. The thing is, spiritually speaking, that kind of malnutrition does not impact us physically. Because I can be in, you know, perfect physical health, going to the gym, exercising, you know, muscles, and man, just looking great, and, you know, 4% body fat, great health, eat all the right things. So I'm feeling really good physically. But spiritually, man, I have a bloated, distended tummy. I mean, all of those images of malnutrition, that's what I am on the inside. That is my spirit, man. But because I go to church all the time, I may think, well, I'm okay. I mean, I feel all right. Emotions can be huge liars. I can convince myself that I'm doing okay when in reality I'm not. If I sit down and I eat a cardboard box that was used to ship, you know, a refrigerator, well, by the time I'm done, I'm going to be full. Like, oh man, I ate too much. I can't believe, but it's cardboard. And it hasn't done me, in fact, not only has it not done me good, it's probably doing me some really bad. It's maybe going to mess me up big time. In the realm of the spirit, the only thing that feeds me is the Word of God. That's it. Now, along with this, there are some things that only the Bible can do for us. There are some things to where if we do not take the Word in, these things will not happen in our lives. Now, what I'm going to do, I am going to read to you things that the Bible does for us, and all I'm going to do is read Scripture. I'm going to read to you from the Word of God. You know how sometimes you go into a restaurant and have a menu, and next to the items it has all the nutritional, you know, so many calories and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes that's good, sometimes you wish it wasn't there. Well, you know what? I'm going to be reading to you the nutritional content of Scripture. Now, I'm going to be reading these in the order that they appear in the Bible. So this is not a ranking from first to last or whatever. This is simply in the order that they appear in Scripture. Now, this is not everything, but it's a lot. And honestly, you can try to turn to these if you want to, but I'm just going to read through them. In Joshua 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now somebody could say, well, you know, that Old Testament stuff. Well, now wait a minute, hold on. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God." Even all the things contained in the law, that's still the Word of God. So even though we're not under the law, reading that from the Bible, there is nutritional value for us on a spiritual level. Now here we see, let's just say, "The Word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." For the Christian who says, "I just can't seem to do the things that God wants. I just can't seem. He's telling you how. Because if you put the Word in you and keep putting the Word in you and keep putting the Word in you, there comes a point that you start observing to do all that is in it. And he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now see, this is a benefit of the Word. And now, God can't lie. Therefore, everything I'm reading to you, this is guaranteed to happen. It's not a, well, it might or it might not. This is guaranteed to happen. Now, you have to understand, it is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But he says, this book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Or in other words, in your daily life, get the word in. You know, let's just be generous here. I just don't have time to sit down and read for a couple of hours. Okay, then play it in the background. Just let it play and let it be spoken into your life throughout the day. Listen to this, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or let's say the word of God, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, this is a word guarantee. Now, notice he talks about he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Remember what Jesus talked about? The sower sows the word, and then the good ground people, they bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Well, here we see a variation on that theme. And here we see, this is a guarantee. He said, look, when your delight, when your focus is on is in God's word and you put it into you as a lifestyle, then you know what? You're going to bring forth fruit. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Another way to say that would be, you know, you're going to be drawing life from the rivers of living water flowing from the throne of God. And that whatever you do, you're going to prosper. You're going to have good success. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, if you don't put the Word of God in, this will never happen. Never. I want to emphasize this. Never. If you're living from sermon to sermon, well, you're getting a little bit. But that's like feeding a starving child, you know, like a spoonful of rice or something. You know, this is something that has to happen, this feasting on the Word. And he says, look, God's Word, it's perfect, converting the soul. Okay, well, see, I'm already born again, but this converting the soul is talking about a change in how I perceive things, which is very similar to what the Apostle Paul wrote, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he says, God's word is perfect. Listen, God's word is perfect. Nobody else's word is perfect. Nobody. Now, if I preach the word to you, then what comes out of my mouth, you know, when I read this to you, what's coming out of my mouth is perfect because it's a word of God. So God's word is perfect. You will not have perfect spiritual food from any other source. This is it. And he says, look, the word, it helps produce wisdom in your life, godly wisdom, spiritual wisdom. He says here, making wise the simple. In other words, there's a change that begins to take place in how you even think about situations. That his statutes are right, rejoicing the heart, strengthening your emotions, and enlightening your eyes and giving understanding. The more word you get, the more word you understand. The more word you feed into you, the more it begins to to become clear to you. I just don't understand the Bible. Well, do you read it? Well, I try to read it, but I just don't understand it. Okay, then you need some wisdom and you need some understanding. You have to keep at it. You have to keep at it. Well, all that King James stuff. Hey, look, you've come too late to try to use those excuses on me. Well, I can't pronounce some of those names. Don't worry about it. We're not asking you to stand up and teach it. Just read it. Just put it in. Now listen to this. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. See, we can talk about lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and we are correct. However, the Word of God, the Bible, that book you're holding in your hand right now, has healing properties in it. It contains healing properties. And it also contains deliverance properties. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Do you know that the power of the Word of God, well, do you know that the Word of God is anointed? The Bible, the Word of God is anointed. Now, what destroys yokes? Anointing. It's possible to break free from addictions by feasting on the Word of God. God. Okay, what if you're locked up someplace and there's nobody to pray for you? There's nobody to talk to. What if you're in some kind of solitary confinement, whatever the deal is, and the only thing that you have is a Bible? And you start feeling bad, or you've got some kind of, whatever it would be, okay? The power of God's Word, the power of His Word has healing properties and delivering properties. God sent His Word, and He healed them and delivered them from all destructions. And listen, the Word never changes. You know, there's another place in Scripture, it's not on this list, but it says, you know, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Okay, that means, somebody might say, well, that thing about him sending his word and healing them and delivering them from all, you know, destructions, that only had to do with the Jews when they came out of Egypt. No, wait a minute. No, that's the Word of God he sent. Because if the healing power and delivering power of his word only applied to the Jews when they were in Egypt, and if you read Psalm 107, it can come across like that. If that's the only application of his word was for the Jews in Egypt, there's a serious problem then, because how do I know other aspects of his word weren't only for the Christians in Rome and only for the Christians in Thessalonica? You see what I'm saying? No, God sent his word. His word. His word. And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I just don't know what to do. Well, you know what? Feed on the word. Feed on the word. See, what happens is, the Word of God, it's a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. All right, it's a figure of speech. But the more that you feed on the Word of God is the more it conditions your spirit to comprehend God's will for your life. Not just the don't do this and don't do that, things that are revealed in Scripture. I'm talking about the sum total of your entire life. His Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Okay, so if I don't take the Word and put it in me, then what have I done? Well, I'm not turning on the lamp. There is no lamp on, there is no light. In other words, I'm walking in darkness. Not spiritual, lost condition darkness, but I'm walking in darkness relative to my decision making, to knowing what to do. In Psalm 119, verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. My soul melteth for heaviness. In other words, everything stinks right about now. Everybody's coming against me. Everybody, you know, everything's going wrong. Blah, 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 and it goes. But here he says, I mean, this is really interesting. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Now he's telling the Lord, here's what's going on. And on the inside, I ain't doing too good. I'm really struggling. But he recognizes what's going to help him. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. According to thy word. Meaning, the word of God produces emotional strength and stability in our lives. Now, I know we can talk about worship and praying in the Spirit, things like that. But tonight, the focus is on God's word and what God has said in his word that his word will do for us. So we're seeing that his word produces strength in the area of our emotions. In Psalm 119, verses 92 through 93, unless thy law or thy word had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. If your word hadn't been my delights, I would have perished in my affliction. Don't simply think in terms of a physical sickness affliction. This can also be the affliction of emotions in that I just can't take anymore, I give up. This passage right here is one that a lot of pastors need to hear. They need to understand this. Because, you know, I've talked about this before. In the kingdom of God, in ministry, you know, an apostle, prophet, evangelist, etc., etc., in the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as burnout. There's no such thing as burnout because God is never going to burn anybody out. Never. Now, that doesn't mean you won't face challenges. But likewise, in the body of Christ, every now and then I have seen I've seen these posts on Facebook by Christians. By Christians. Well, I just don't know if it's worth it to keep on trying to live for the Lord. Well, I just don't. And you know, I just want to reach to the computer and slap them silly and tie them down and turn off their computer so they can't infect anybody else with that filth and that disease. That's terrible. Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't know what people are going through. No, I don't. But they don't realize what the Word can do for them. Look, he's telling you right here. Let me say it like this. As long as I make your word my delight, I will not perish in my affliction. As long as I keep your word, your precepts in the forefront of my mind, I will experience, where he says here, for with them thou hast quickened me. Another way to say that is, I will experience life and life more abundantly. I'm not going to go through all of this. Well, I'm just about ready to give up on Christians. Why? Well, they're all a bunch of jerks. No, they're not. They're not. You're just going through a pity party. Well, I ain't going back to church. Why not? Well, because I can have church in my own home by myself. No, you can't. You can have fellowship with God yourself. However, the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So you know what? You can bellyache to me all you want about the church you go to. You can tell me how lousy it is. You can tell me how your pastor doesn't do anything but try to manipulate people for money and his doctrine is way off. And you know, you can say, well, people have lied to you. Christians have done you wrong in the church and they're all a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what? You may be 100% right about the church you're going to. Have you considered you're in the wrong church? Seriously. Have you well, yeah, but, you know, I kind of feel, you know, I mean, I've been there so long and I've been there. Oh, wait a second. A moment ago, you're ready to quit everything. Have you considered you're not in the right church? Have you even prayed about this? I mean, you definitely have Facebook bellyached about it, but have you even prayed about this? No, you haven't. Whenever I get emails from people that, you know, they're complaining about their pastor and all that, I tell them, I said, look, you need to be in the church where God wants you, which means you need to be praying about this as to whether or not, you know, he wants you there or someplace else. But I am not going to get into the middle of a big stink at your church. Ain't going to happen. With a capital A, ain't going to happen. Okay, Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Again, we see the word has healing power. And not only that, their life unto those that find them. Everything that this passage, Proverbs 4:20-22, everything that it represents that the word can do, it's not going to happen if you don't get the word in you. Let me just say this. I truly believe that one of the reasons a lot of Christians are battling sickness, they're not getting enough word in them. Are you sure you heard that? They're not getting enough. Okay, think of it like this. We have two living things. Germs, virus, bacteria. We call it sickness. Then we have the Word of God. Now both want to be a part of our lives. One is more powerful than the other. The Word is more powerful than sickness. Therefore, is it possible that if I am doing what the Word says, keeping it in me, keeping it before me, meditating on it, sowing it into my life, is it possible that I will build up my immune system? Come on. Is it health to all their flesh? Health to their flesh. So I keep putting the word in, keep putting the word in, keep putting the word in, keep putting in. Then, when Mr. Virus wants to attack my body, is it possible that the word just deals with it before it can hammer me? Is that possible? Yeah, I say it absolutely is. Absolutely. Listen. What I just said here about this right here, what I just said, I don't know if it's in this room or somebody watching or listening after the fact, but there is some resistance to this. Let me kind of say it like, oh, come on. Seriously? You really believe that? Well, I do. You don't have to, but I do. Look, he says, my words are life unto them that find them and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. You know what? The Word of God does not need any of those disclaimers and warnings that you see on television. You got a headache? Take this pill. However, know this. It will make your nose fall off, your ears fall off, your eyeballs go cross. I mean, all that stuff that they tell you, the warnings, and by the time you're done, you're thinking, I don't know if I want to take that pill or not. I think I'd just rather eat a cupcake or something. Here he says, his word is health to all their flesh. I say, and I stand by this, if we would feed the word of God into us and feed it into us, it's going to help us to fight off sickness and disease. And I, along with that, help us to recover more quickly, help us to see healing manifest more quickly. The Word of God. Look, this is the Word of God. I can't explain to you how the Word of God contains healing power. I can't put it on a blackboard. But this is what God says. Now, in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 through 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. One of the worst things you can do is feed the Word of God into you from versions of the Bible that have altered the Word. That's like taking a pill with half the medication replaced with baby powder. That's like, you know, you think you're, you know, getting the medicine, but instead you're getting half sugar, half medicine, whatever it would be. Did you know, people, you might not know this, but you know, when people buy cocaine on the street corner, they're not really getting pure cocaine. It's been cut. Sometimes they cut it with rat poison. Sometimes they cut it with sugar. Sometimes they cut it with just other stuff that's white and blends in, and it increases the profit margin of the people selling the drug. Rarely ever. I mean, I'll go so far as to say it's you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody buying pure cocaine on a street corner. Now, the pure cocaine may be shipped into the country, but it gets cut after that. In fact, some people do that with marijuana. They'll crumble up the marijuana and add like oregano or other stuff in the bag. You say, how do you know all this stuff, brother? Okay, the next verse. When you begin to cut the Word of God with something else, it cannot produce what it wants to produce. This is why, and I've shared with you before, various passages of Scripture that other versions have mutilated. And hey, did you know that just the placement of a comma in a different place in a sentence completely alters the meaning of that sentence? In fact, you can alter it by putting a period where a period doesn't need to be and starting another sentence or starting another paragraph. Now, you guys know where I stand as far as Scripture is concerned. You know, I'm King James primarily. I leave it at that. See, look, every version of the Bible, there'll be something in it that's right, okay? Maybe only half of it. But the King James, what if you can't read the Greek and the Hebrew? Well, you got to do something. And all these newer versions, did you know, do you remember here about a week or so ago, a little over a week ago during the conference, when I was teaching about, you know, I had to answer that thing about ghosts. Remember that? Have you seen what happened here recently over in Uganda? A pastor of a church, 6,000 members. He stood up and he said, every Bible that uses the phrase Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit is demonic and of the devil and needs to be gotten rid of. And there was a big Bible burning at the church. And they were burning the King James and other versions that had Holy Ghost in there. Now, that's ignorance that has sunk root and is bearing fruit. That's just plain dumb. Now, this guy is trying to help people, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. And now, who knows how many people are going to be impacted by that. So, what I'm saying is, what the Word says, every word of God is pure, and He is a shield that put their trust in Him. His Word is pure. If I'm putting my trust in Him, I can't do it without the Word. Now, granted, if somebody takes the Bible away from me, I'll do the best I can. But if I'm going to put my trust in Him, I'm also going to be putting my trust in His Word. You understand the imagery here? And He says, look, I'll be a shield unto you. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, or my word, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The rock, relative to this, God's Word. Now, you can't build your house, your life, on the Word of God if the Word of God is not being put in you. It can't happen. It's impossible. So what this means is that we are, at least in part, a house built on sand, and then when the storms come, the problems arise. One of the ways to identify this is when a problem comes up in life, doesn't matter what it is. You know, oh, my shoes are all scuffed and I was going to wear them. Now I got to find something else. You know, oh, you know, family problem, major this and arguing that and leaving me and all. Just pick your problem, okay? When you go into an emotional funk, you just identified that you're not established enough on the Word of God. I see a lot of Christians don't want to buy into that. But he says, look, when the storms come, you're not going to fall. And there are a lot of Christians, look, we all go through battles, okay? I understand that. He's not saying you're not going to face a battle here. And there are always going to be things that we don't like. That is not what this is talking about. But when we're up and down, the Word of God produces stability. I mean, we've already seen that in Scripture. The Word of God produces emotional stability. God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of life, the Word of God. And so therefore, when I build my life upon His Word, I am building my life upon His rock, upon that rock, on that stable thing that will see me through every single problem. See, this is where, in the body of Christ, we've not fully accepted what the Word can do. Let me put it like this. It's possible for a Christian to never, ever go through into a depression. Well, I just don't feel like doing anything. I'm just going to stay home. I just don't feel like going to church. I just don't. Why? Well, just, you know, no. I don't want to do this, and I don't feel like being near anybody. And no. Okay, why? Why? It's because you're letting a response and a reaction to a whatever impact your decision-making. But the Word of God brings stability. Hey, we're all at different levels of growth as far as this is concerned. But what I'm trying to do is help us to understand God has told us in His Word, here's what my Word will do for you. It cannot fail. It will produce everything I'm telling you. It will work. You have to accept this and begin putting it in. In John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. You will not get this, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. You do not get that from any other source. There is no other source. None. Absolutely none. There are a lot of Christians who like to read good, clean, Christian novels. Fiction. You understand what I mean by that? Okay, you know what? Enjoy it. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with reading. However, when that's what you feast on, that's not spirit and that's not life. But Brother Martin, it's got good Christian values and morals, and I agree with you, totally. But that is not the Word of God. But it had a verse in it. Let me see, a 500-page book, and it had a verse in it. Praise God. Okay, I stand corrected. It had 1/25th of a page of the Word of God. Do you see what I'm getting at? It has to be the Word of God. God's Word, Spirit and life. Nothing else. So therefore, if I want that result in me, it has to be Scripture. Nothing else. John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now I know that in part, he's talking about coming to the truth of being born again. But the principle is true for every situation. He says, look, if you continue in My Word, you'll be My disciple indeed. That's true today. Just because we're born again, it doesn't mean we're His disciple. He says, continue in My Word. So that means I've got to continue in the Word. Let me say it a different way. I continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. And you know what? The power of the Word begins working in me, producing me as a disciple. And he says, you'll know the truth will make you free. I've said this before, the amount of freedom that we live in is directly proportionate to the amount of Word we know, to the amount of Word that we've sown in us. I just can't seem to break free from whatever that is for you. You know what? You'll know the truth will make you free. I'm not talking about my car is red and that's the truth. No, that's not the truth we're talking about here. And you know that. This is the truth that sustains spiritual life. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. There is a sanctification power of the word of God that works in a believer. His word is truth. Nothing else is truth. Now there is a truth relative, like I said a moment ago, you know, my car is red and that is truth. Okay, well that is a natural type of truth. But the kind of truth that we need relative to being born again, spiritually speaking, it's only the Word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The more I stay in the Word of God and sow it into me, I begin to see my inheritance in Christ manifest in my life. It is an inevitable event, well, an inevitable process. The inheritance, whatever that means, whatever I've inherited through Jesus Christ, it begins taking place in me. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you want faith? Yes, Brother Martin, I want faith. The just shall live by faith. Okay, praise God. Got to get in the word. And then Christians want to talk about, well, that sickness or accident or hardship or whatever produced faith. No, no, and a bazillion times, no. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If the word's not coming in, faith isn't coming. It is not coming. Tonight, I'm reading to you the word of God. Faith is coming. You know, just whatever amount that this is producing, it's producing because I'm giving you the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. No other option. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's word is profitable for establishing correct doctrine in my life. Now obviously he's talking about in context and left in continuity. But all scripture, it's profitable to produce doctrine in my life, but it's also profitable to reprove me and to correct me and to give me instruction in righteousness. Meaning, I don't know everything I need to know right now, but the Word of God brings about that which I need to know. And verse 17, he tells me that the result of this will be, I will be perfect or mature, spiritually mature, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works, spiritually equipped to carry out and fulfill the Word of God. And how does it start? With Scripture. All Scripture. Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God works on the inside to cut away junk. You know, just to put it simply. Nothing else does this. And listen, have you considered the possibility that maybe as believers? No, listen to visualize this. You, me, have we considered that we've got more stuff in us that needs to be cut away than what we think? I say yes. What's going to cut it away? The Word of God. So, you know, a lot of what I'm reading here tonight, it's an act of faith on our part that the Word is going to do this. You know, Father, I don't understand it. I mean, I really don't, because when I'm listening to the Word, I'm reading the Word, I don't really feel anything inside me. However, you have said all these things are going to happen, so therefore, I believe you. and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to put the Word in me so that all of this stuff can take place. And if God were going to speak out loud to you, He'd say, very good, I'm proud of you. Just keep in mind, it's not an overnight event. This is something that you have to be diligent about doing. In James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That is one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. Superfluity of naughtiness. Try that one on your kids sometime. You know, haven't I told you to quit that superfluity of naughtiness? They will stop and look at you like, what? And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, I'm already born again, so he's talking about a change on the inside of me. He says, receive the engrafted word. In other words, graft it into your very being, and it will produce what you need on the inside. Now, the last one I'm going to read tonight, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, meaning in the Word of God, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I'm already born again, so that divine nature is in me. However, he says, now let me paraphrase this for this teaching. He says, look, it is through the Word of God and its power that you're going to be able to not just live having received the divine born-again nature, but to partake of it day in and day out, to live as Christ in the world. Now, this is all just a sampling of what the Word of God can do for us. There's more in Scripture that obviously I could have read here tonight. But all of this and more is God revealing to us, here is what my word will do for you. If we take the word in, everything that I have read and all of what I didn't read tonight, everything that the word says it will do, it begins to happen in our lives. And we keep putting it in us by hearing, by reading. These results are going to happen. The change, whatever it is, it will take place because this book that we have in our hands, it is alive. It has the heartbeat of God. Oh, you know, you can't hear it because it's spiritual. It carries the life and the heartbeat of God. And the more that we put it in us, is the more that our spirits are developing into everything God desires, and along with that, the more our spirits rise above the influence of our flesh. And we dominate, like the Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body. We keep under that flesh. And again, we live as Christ in the world. Praise God. This message tonight is for me, because I need this. Look, guys, let's be honest here. It's very easy to just let this slip and to not get into the Word. It's very easy. And that's one of the reasons I've gotten back into having it play in the background. Listening to it in the background as I do things. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So faith is coming. I'm changing. May not see it right now, but I am. I'm changing. That's the power of God's Word. And I sincerely hope that this message tonight has really been motivational, not just informational, but motivational for everybody who's heard it to want to take that step and say, you know, I got to get the Word of God in me more than what I have so that these results can take place in my life. I am not coming, how can I say this? I am not trying to diminish the value of prayer, especially praying in the Spirit, worship, fasting. I'm not diminishing the value of those in any way. What I'm saying is, God's Word carries its own benefits for us. And if we don't put it in, then we don't get those benefits.